Oh, no, we're not done.
I don't believe the Lord would have me to shut up. If there was one person here, then we'd stay. I mean, that's a reality. And I understand people have to leave. I have nothing against any of that. But this is just what, this is not about the flesh. Because I tell you what, right now, my wife can attest that I'm hurting. I got this big old growth on my rib, and I'd like to sit down. My neck is hurting me, Brother Dan. I got a pounding headache. I'm hurting. But I just know that the Lord doesn't want me to stop, and I'm not going to stop. He'll take care of me later. And we see here, back in Luke chapter 18, in verse 9, and it says, and he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. And then look at verse 10. It says, and two men went. And by the way, these are familiar verses, right? We know these verses, but here's a poison that's going around in churches. Because people are familiar with verses, they've allowed them to stop having power in their life. Because they become familiar with that verse. They say, well, this, I've heard that 100 times. I don't care if you've heard it 1,000 times. It's the word of God.
Amen.
And I'll do something to you.
Yes,
sir.
If it's not doing something to you, the problem is not with the Bible. The problem is with your heart.
Yes.
The problem is with your heart. And so we're looking at some self-righteous people. Some people sitting in church that if other people came in that back door, Brother David, they'd look and go, that's the same person. But not according to Jesus Christ.
That's it.
You all know, it's very easy to pick somebody out who despises somebody. And it's a shame in churches today that we have men and women that are sitting in church despising those who are living for Jesus. Wishing that they could have that. The problem is not the person living it, it's you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Is God a lie or is he the truth? Does he want you saved or doesn't he? If you say that you believe that God wants you saved and you're not saved, who's the problem with?
You.
You need to check your self-righteousness. You need to check what you think your works are going to do for you. You need to check that little free pass you think you're going to get because you grew up in a church. Not going to happen, is it, Brother Seeley? Is it, Sister? No, it's not going to happen. Two men went up into the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. There's the self-righteousness. Well, I don't do that, and I don't do this, and I wouldn't do that. I was with a lady the other day. Me and my wife were with a lady the other day, and she was looking at, we were looking at something. I go, man, I felt bad for this person that we were looking at. And that person goes, well, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't act like that. I wouldn't do that. Her self-righteousness. She's going to bust hell wide open with her self-righteousness.
Yeah.
One of the saddest things on the planet is this. I've known my mother 52 years. And my mother has never done anything wrong. She came here to church the other day and found fault in every one of you.
Right, yep.
That's self-righteous, my friend. My mother's going to bust hell wide open with that. You pray for my mom. You pray for my mom. Somebody's got to reach her. She won't let me talk to her about God. I talked to her about Jesus Christ about a month or a month and a half ago. You asked my daughter Autumn who's sitting there. I went to go tell my mother. We just had a conversation about Jesus. And how he wanted to save her. And how she, God, Jesus can help her deal with those things that she's dealing with. My mother was molested by her father. For years, and it's crushed her inside. For 50 years, 52 years, I've watched my mother give up her life and not live. She lays in bed all day long. It's a sad state to see somebody you love in that condition. And I said, Mom, that bitterness that's inside of you, only Jesus can help you with that. Yeah. Only he can get in there and turn that around for you. Will you? I said, look, your father's already bust hell wide open. He's paying for it. Get over it. Well, she's hanging on to it, Brother Phil. And she'll bring that to hell and pay that same price that he's paying.
That's right.
What is she going to do? Look over at him? I say, I didn't do it. And so I'm talking to her about Christ. And within a very few short minutes, you ask my daughter, her whole entire face changed and her voice changed. The devils, Brother Mike. The devils were flowing out of my mother. It scared her to death. Brother Debbie, you know what my wife did? She goes, honey, I'm going to start praying right now. I said, pray. I said, come on. Stop. Shut your mouth, devils. Shut your mouth. Leave my mother alone. Come on in the name of Jesus Christ. A few may have been gone or whatever, but man, just, I've never seen anything like that, but I didn't even have a hand. I've never faced or experienced anything like that. But you guys, some of you have those same devils in you.
Yep.
You have those same things in you. Helping you stay lost is trying to convince you. The same thing that's convincing my mother that you just are not that bad. You go, but brother, I would never think that about myself. Yes, you would. Look at your works. You prove it through your works. You prove it how hard you work at living your life.
Yep.
Miss Tiffany, it would have been impossible for you to live this Christian life without Jesus. It would not last. It didn't last. I've tried it. Self-righteous religious works will not keep it for long. It will not. When you stand before a holy God, you will bust hell wide open with those religious works.
That's right.
God will be just. God will be justified for doing that very thing. You can't hold that against him. He's giving you all the opportunity in the world. How many more services? Stop thinking you have another chance.
Right.
You may not have another chance.
Right.
I'm not trying to scare you into salvation, but I'm trying to wake you up a little bit.
Sir.
Why, God cares for you. He loves you. He went to that cross of Calvary. Not only did he go to the cross of Calvary, but he went to the flames of hell. Why? To take your sins there.
Amen.
To take what you are.
Right.
Do you know what it says about him? He travailed. I want you to think of the seriousness and the uttermost fierceness of that word travail.
Yes.
What did he travail for? You. Pure love. You want to know a pure love? Think about Christ in the flames of hell taking your place. That's a pure love. That's an undefiled, unadulterated love. It is so pure, it's hard to understand. It's so wonderful. Then why do people want to try to work for that love, brother? Let me ask you something, lost people. Has it got you there yet? When are you going to wake up and realize that what you're doing has not got you there yet?
Right.
Surrender. Believe, be done.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You go, oh, that's too simple. What's the simplicity that's in Christ? Brother Tim, one of the easiest things that happened to me is I got saved. But it was the hardest for me to get there. Why? I just wouldn't surrender. I just would not look in the direction that God tried to show me. I looked in every other direction.
Yep.
You know what it took for me to get saved, Brother Matt? You think, my goodness, you must have known you're a real bad boy, Dale. All that stuff you've done, getting arrested, doing jail and prison, now you must have known you were a real bad boy. I knew where I was against the world.
That's right. Absolutely right.
I knew that I was a rebel against this world.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Big
difference. That's right.
Big difference.
Worldly sorrow leadeth to death.
Yes, sir.
I was headed for a hot hell quick.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, what leads you to Jesus?
Godly sorrow.
God, an absolute deep contrition. Ready for this? For what you did against the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
That's what you don't want.
That's it.
That's what you will not lead you to allow yourself to come to.
Correct.
And you keep repeating the same stuff over and over again up here.
And it doesn't
happen. Because you're going to let God bring you there.
Right.
God's going to bring you.
Yes,
you're
going to
see it. And you're going to want that.
Right.
Your self-righteousness will never lead you to contrition.
Yes, sir.
No, you know what you want to confess? You want to confess those things you think you did against God.
Right.
Yeah.
He's trying to show you what he's got against you.
Right. Yes, sir.
That's what he does.
Hallelujah.
Why? Out of pure love.
Amen.
Oh, thank God.
That's it.
Out of love.
Amen.
Yep.
Well, that Pharisee, that publican, he says, look at this. He says, man, in verse 12, I fast twice in a week. What's what? Any lost people here fast? What's it doing for you?
Like,
I'm not saying fasting's wrong if you're a lost person, but it's your heart.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. God's looking at your heart. What we try to do is we try to say, Lord, you know, I'm going to fast because I need to get saved. But God's looking at your heart and says, no, you're trying to work your way.
Yep.
That's what it is.
He knows your heart.
Remember, God knows the heart.
Yeah.
That's where he's looking.
Amen.
He's not trying to search your mind.
That's right.
He's looking at your heart.
Yep.
He's trying to expose that thing. And guess what happened? He wants to give you heart surgery. Ain't that wonderful? Here's something I use in jail, brother. I'm young, but I got a lot of health problems. And I'm going to die. They've given me probably a month to live. But my heart's good. Brother Mike, guess what? Me and you are a match. So when I die, you get to have my heart and you get to add 20 years onto your life. It's wonderful. So that month comes along and I bust out of here. I'm into eternity. I'm at the feet of Jesus Christ. I'm not worried about my heart anymore. They put my heart in Brother Mike. Brother Mike's my family's all happy. And they come and see you in the hospital and say, but Mike, when you get out, we're going to take you out to a restaurant and we're going to get you your favorite food. We're going to buy you a fish fry. You're like, oh, man, that's going to be wonderful. I can't wait to get out there and get that. They take you out there, Brother Michael. Put you up to that table. Put that food in front of you, that fish fry. You're like, oh, I can't wait to get into that. You go to take a bite and make your stomach nauseated. Oh, it must be the hospital food. You know, I've been eating hospital food for so long, it's made me sick. And you go to take a bite of that and you want to vomit. You say, I just can't eat this. What is going on with me? And you just blow her off. You order something else, you blow her off and you go on. You get home and you're getting rested up, you're getting well, and your wife comes out and says, Mike, one of the light bulbs blew in the fan in here, get up there and change that thing. Yeah, no problem. You grab your little snap stool there, and you go to climb up on that thing, you go, what's wrong with me, huh? I feel like I'm afraid to get up on that. I'm not afraid of heights. Let me try to get up there, and you shake as you try to walk up on there. You go, what in the world's going on with me? And so as the time goes on, and then you have your first checkup with the doctor after the surgery. And at the checkup, you go, Doc, you're not going to believe it. Man, things that I used to love, I don't love anymore. Things that I used to don't like, I like now. And you know what he's going to say? It's because your heart transplant. You know what's wrong? Most people sitting in churches, your heart ain't been transplanted.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Amen. Free.
Pretty simple, ain't
it? Yeah.
That's right.
Without a heart transplant from Jesus, you'll stay the same.
Right.
You know why I'm different? You know what?
You know why? You know why I think different?
Oh, my desires are even different. You believe that? You know why I had a heart transplant? I've taken on
the one who saved me. I got his heart now.
Oh, thank God.
So now I got his desires.
Amen.
Jesus Christ put a new heart in me.
Yeah.
Amen. Right.
He says, now you'll take on those desires. You'll take on those wants. You'll take on those things. And guess what? I'm looking less and less like me and more and more like him.
Amen.
Romans 8:29 tells us that. Romans 12 tells us not to be conformed to the image, or not to be conformed into this world.
Amen.
So what's that mean? That means we've got to look more and more like Jesus and less like ourselves.
Right.
But you won't with your works.
Right.
Amen.
You'll always look the same.
Amen.
I was reading the book of Revelation.
And it broke my heart to read this, Carl. Capital L-A-M-B, capital Lamb, Jesus Christ, in the book of Revelation. He's standing on the outside of hell. You know what part of your torture is going to be? The one who could have saved you is going to be standing out there if you can't reach him. That'll be part of your hell. Go read it in the book of Revelation where Jesus Christ is standing on the outside of hell. And they're in hell. They're watching that Savior and they can't get to him. They have their chance. What a torture that's going to be. What a torture that's going to be.
I fast twice in a week. I give tithes to all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Yes. Let me just tell you something, my friend.
You've admitted that you're a sinner.
Yep.
And how well has it helped you? You see, God's trying to bring you a little farther than you just admitting something.
That's
right.
Right.
Yes. We're making a little admit, let me admit this, it's going to just change everything. Oh, no.
This sense is so much deeper that you don't even understand.
Yes, sir.
That God has to peel that off. I'm just going to tell you that I sat in this church pew right where you were at for 4 years knowing that I was lost.
Yep.
And God had to peel that stuff back out of my life.
Oh, thank God.
You know what was left? Jesus.
Amen. I got to see Jesus when all that stuff was gone.
Thank you.
Stay strong.
You know what my first thought was, brother? My wife, she started, she must have went home or whatever. She started coming to church before I did. We were at a point in time in our life where my wife would pray that God would kill me. Or she would pray that God would kill me. She just couldn't take it anymore. She just wished that God would kill me. She didn't want a divorce, but she loved me. She started coming to church and she cried and passed through. She'd come down there and I don't know, 2 or 3 months, she's coming. Man, you know what that you holy roller! You Bible thumper, you goody two-shoe! And I would torture that girl for coming to church. I mean, torture her! Jake, inside, I wanted what she had. I wanted what was going on with her. Because she started desiring something that I've never seen in my wife. She was a Catholic at that point. She had a profession. But she started having some changes in her life. I'm like, man, what is it? Is this real? She said, honey, I'm in a drunken stupor Sunday morning. She said, baby, you come to church. She goes, there's a man who preaches the NIV. No, I was kidding. Oh, there's a man who preaches the ESV.
No.
Let me tell you about that nonsense.
Speak on.
Nonsense.
Right. Yeah.
Man's opinion on what God says.
Right.
I don't want it. I'll tell you what, when I came out of prison, I knew those NIVs. I knew those ESVs. I knew all that stuff. And it was going to send me to hell.
That's right.
Didn't change nothing inward.
Right.
But an outward appearance. They put an outward appearance on me. And as a convict, you know, we got to put things on to get what we need to get, do what we need to do. So I put this whole Christian thinking, I come home quoting NIV, ESV. I quoted, listen, I knew the Torah, the Quran, I could quote the sermons. I knew I did peace pipe smoking in prison. You know, it wasn't real, you know, weed. But they had peace pipes, you know, ceremony. I did all that stuff. Why? Because I was looking for a way out and couldn't get it. Well, lo and behold, I started going to jail and prison. By the way, I didn't just wake up one day and decide I'm going to go to prison. I'm just going to become this fire person. No, I was already in.
I go to jail. At this point, Nick, the only time I ever heard of Jesus Christ is a curse word out of my mother's mouth. GD this and JC this. That's all I heard. My mother never brought me to a Catholic church, an Episcopalian church, nothing. No Bible, nothing in our home.
I'm in jail in Florida. And a jailhouse preacher comes up to me, a colored guy. He comes up to me and says, will you come to my Bible study? I said, no, I don't need your crutch. Mm. I said, why would I want something that can't change your life?
Exactly.
You're in and out of jail and in and out of prison. I want that?
That's right.
Amen. He said, no, I want you to just come and hear this Bible study. All you have to do, give it one try. Reluctantly, I went.
He opened up his
NIV. No, just kidding. Seriously, I'm not kidding. He opened up a King James Bible.
Amen.
Amen. For the first time.
Merciful Father.
I started feeling my conscience.
Amen.
Yes. I read those other Bibles and didn't even touch my conscience. Never bothered me. There was never any comfort in it. There was no conviction in those things. Never. Ever. The minute that man opened that King James Bible, started preaching it to me, it started stirring something. It scared me so much, I went to the psych doctor and asked him to give me psych. We can stay high with the psych doctor.
Wow.
Yeah, we stay high in jail with the psych doctor. He gave me anything you want.
This time you don't feel good, you're having problems, you can't sleep at night, they'll give you whatever drug you want to help you out.
Yep.
That's what I did. I ran to the psych doctor because I did not understand what my conscience was. I had no clue. It wasn't for years later that he explained to me what was going on. So kind of blow that off on you. Start reading the Bible. While I'm in jail in Florida serving for armed robbery, I get indicted up in New York. I'm on the run from New York in Florida, and I had run from the ankle bracelet, so now they're making me serve my sentence down there. I get indicted in Florida. They said they ran back my sentence concurrent with whatever goes on in New York. The federal government came and they flew me up to New York. Every Wednesday, there's inmates flying across the air on the airlift, and the federal government just transports everybody everywhere. So they ran my sentence concurrent with whatever's going to go on in New York. I get up in New York. I'm facing 12 and a half to 25 years. They got me pinned for 25 armed robberies. As I'm sitting in Buffalo, a man comes up and says, "Would you like to come to Bible study?" I said, "No, I'm good. I read a Bible in my room." He said, "Well, I'll come in and, you know, at least sit down and try this." I said, "You know what? There's nothing to do. I'm tired of being sitting on the dorm. I'll go to the Bible study." I had no clue. I get in that Bible study. Oh, what do you think that man opened up to preach to? King James.
Amen.
A King James Bible.
Amen.
And that thing again started working in my heart. And I said, "What is this?" No clue. But I knew this time I was going to get me one myself and bring it myself and start reading that thing.
Yeah.
You got a lot of time to think in the cell.
Yeah.
Suicide lights out, keeps you up, you can't sleep. And so I'm reading that Bible. They want to give me 12 and a half to 25 years. And for the first time, Brother Mike, I understood on the railway up there, up in the jail, I was on Foxtrot South. I just said, "God, whoever you are, whatever you are, I'm not worried about this no more." And I just exhaled, one of the biggest exhales I remember taking in my entire life. So they end up coming down. They want to give me 7.5 to 15 years. I said, "No, I'm not taking that. I got three co-defendants, man. I'm not taking all this charge." And so I'm waiting. I'm going to go to trial, man. I'm sitting in the bullpen getting ready to go pick the jury. And as I'm sitting there, they came in. They said, "Look, this is what they want to do. This is your last offer. They want to offer you a determinate 5 years." And I said, "I'll take that. I can do that standing on my head." And I really, at that time, I put the... Would have been nothing for me in 5 years. So I did that 5 years. And Honorable Judge McCarthy said this, "Pastor." He said, "Mr. Moore, I want you to go in prison. I want you to go in there and learn how to be a productive member of society." What's that look like to me?
Right.
Who's going to teach me that? Well, I get in that prison, Gowanda, which is now closed, and somebody offers me to go to a Bible study. Isn't that something? I believe God was after me.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart, that God came after me at that point. There was something in me that he seen that he was after me. That's where I met Pastor Luke O'Donnell, Old Time Baptist Church.
Thank God.
And they come in and they preach that word. I mean, they opened up. They opened up that King James Bible. And let me say something.
Glory to God.
And I knew that something was going, Brother Mike, so much so. I'm going to speak this up in a minute. So now at this point, I'm a high-level gang member. I'm what they call a first. I'm a shot caller in that prison. There are people who have to come to me and get things and get permission to do things. You know how that runs. I'm sitting underneath that preacher for about 4 weeks, and it's driving me crazy. So much so that we went out to our yard. We have meetings out in the yard every 30 days. And there's reports have to be given, reports taken, taxes have to get one from another, so on and so forth. Where are the blood, where are the Crips, where are the Latin Kings? We keep track of everybody. And I just look at the guy. Now I was his bodyguard when I first started. I started in security. They used to call me the crazy white boy. I was his security. So I was like the CIA of the president back to him. I just looked that man in the eye and I said, "Look, I said, I can't do this anymore. You ever join a gang, you know what they tell you?
Yeah.
Blood in, blood out.
They will kill you. He looked at me, and he said, I want you to come back out in 30 days. It was the worst 30 days of my life. I could not sleep a wink. I didn't sleep with my eyes closed. I guarantee you that. I was always strapped up, bro. I took a shower strapped up. That means I had my shoes on. All the time. I took a shower almost fully dressed. Kill you. If they think you're trying to turn on them or whatever, they will kill you. And so for 30 days, I lived like that. That time for me to go out in the yard, I rolled up my bedroll. I'm thinking they're just going to take care of me. That's it, I'm out of here. I took a little King James Bible. King James Bible. One of the little black ones. I stuck it in my pocket for no reason, brother. I had no real reason. But I stuck that in my pocket.
Amen. So one of the reasons I didn't respect Dale was because I thought, because I've seen so many young men use religion to try to get out of a gang, or join the Muslims to try to get out of a gang, act, you know, all religious for a little while, so they get moved to a different yard, and they just lose it all. But it's not real. It's just trying to get out of a gang, you're trying to get out of a situation. So I thought he was part of that. I thought he was just a sellout, you know, just playing religion. That's one of the reasons I didn't like
it.
He was trying.
That's true. Right. So I go out that yard. They surround me, brother Mike. They surround me. They say, you know how to get out of this? I said, yeah. I'm unsaved. Hear me now. I'm not a saved man as I stand there. I'm an unsaved man who's telling these people that I can no longer roll with them. Because that Bible drove me to a place I never thought I'd go. But God brought me to that place in my life.
Amen.
And I went to them and I told them I can't do it. And I wasn't being tough and smart alecky to them. That would have been it for me. You can't do that to them.
Yep.
And so as I told them that, he goes, well, let me just tell you something, Dale. He said, there is another way.
Right.
I said, what do you mean? He said, religion. He said, that doesn't free you. You don't just walk away from it. He goes, what we'll do, we're going to put somebody to watch you. Everywhere you go, there'll be eyes. When I was in the shower, there was somebody in the shower with me. When I was near my room, somebody was near my room watching me. When I went to the desk to talk to the CEO that I needed something or whatever, there was somebody there with me. Every single place I went, they were with me. If I went to church, they were there with me. For 2.5 years, I went on that way, Pastor. I got 6 months left on my sentence before I hit the door. I go out to what will be my last meeting in that yard as a gang member. And when I walked up to them for my last time, he said, Dale, you'll always be a brother in our heart, but you no longer have to report to us.
Amen.
All that because of the King James Bible drove me to do something that was never done in my life.
Amen.
Good decisions.
I say all that to say this.
Deliverance.
My wife got me in church. How do you think she got me in church?
Right.
She said, this man preaches a King James Bible.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. You know what my thought was, Pastor Black? I said this. I'm going to go teach John Asquith something. Does he know something? He opened up that Bible. You know what I said? Nothing! I shut my mouth complete. I was stunned at what I was hearing. What? I had no clue.
Right.
No clue, but I knew one thing. He had something that I didn't see. Now, remember, I've been around a lot of religious workers.
Right.
In jail and prison, you're around a lot of, I call them religious workers. That's what they get paid for and everything else.
Right.
That's what they care about.
Yeah.
Then they come out with a little badge on themselves in the church. This is what I do for the inmates. Well, this is how many we led to the Lord today, and we changed the whole prison because of it.
Right.
Oh, and then they inflate the number. I've been in it 7 years. I trust me, I know what they do, and I've learned it. They inflate the numbers because of the federal funding that's coming in. You know what they told me, brother? They said, you need to write down how many people get saved. I said, between them and God, I'll never write down. Well, we don't know if we can have you here. Then I said, I'll leave kindly to you.
I'm
not writing anything down. What happens between them men, them women, and God?
Amen.
Right.
Anyway, I came down here and heard that King James Bible being preached, and I sat there for 4 years as that thing tore me apart.
Tore me apart. Getting rid of all that 1 Corinthians 8:1 says knowledge puffeth up. You see, all these people get all this knowledge. Knowledge, not to get knowledge. They read everything under the sun. And they'll take, well, you know what does that, church people?
Right.
Go ahead and try to battle one of the NIVers and all that. Go ahead and try to get up on one. They will die for their Bible just like you would the King James Bible. There ain't no sense in talking to them. You won't convince them.
Right.
You just won't. They'll die for it, Brother David. And they're going to take that Bible to hell with them.
We're saved by what?
Brother Ricky Black.
This man here that by the grace of God has found peace in Christ because of your ministry. Would you go up here and lay a hand on him? There is no person in this church that is more of a burden right now than the man that's up here praying. Decisions he's got to make.
God help him. Yes.
Things he's got to understand before God.
Come on, Celia.
Come on. Lay your hand. All right. Now listen. Since you cannot get over there, you run your jaws, and you pray to God for that, man. Did you do that?
Amen.
I'm saying, get in there.
God with him. You say with any man. You say if you ask me, you think in my name. Lord, in my name. Lord God, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, as you bless this man. Lord God, now I pray you give him wisdom. I pray, dear God, that you bless him and know the will of God. I pray you help him, Lord. I pray you find the force of him. Don't try to stop him. I pray, dear God, that you fill his family, bless his dear wife and his children, Lord, and protect him from the glory of God. Give him wisdom and boldness, dear God, to do the will of God. Give me wisdom to know it, Lord. Thank you so much. Lord, for this meeting, what a blessing it's been, dear God. I thank you, Lord, for sending men of God. Thank you for all the men of God you sent in my life and have you help me. Oh, God, all the things that I've ever done, every work, anything. God, they've been done in the church. Thank you, Lord, for the church, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for keeping this place, here in this place, dear God. I pray you bless this man, Lord, please help us. Send victory for the glory of God and all that you can do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask.
Now, next thing, Stephen, where are you? Stand up. I want Brother Coots, you stand up. Two of you shake hands. Don't let go. Now, starting July 9th, I charge you to see to it that every single Sunday until next youth week, that some family or couple from this church is in his services in Akron. Will you see to it that that happens? Whether it be you or some other, I don't care if it's the Vadises and a couple of the boys, whatever it is. But he is never to have a Sunday there. That there is not some family from this church backing him up. All right? Amen.
You want Pastor Black to pay? Pray?
Yes, sir. Would you please?
Lord, thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your goodness this week. Lord, we thank you for the work that you've been striving to do in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. Lord, we just rejoice in the ministry of the word. Lord, we rejoice in the doctrine, Lord, that is distilled upon the grass here tonight. We just ask, Lord, for your work in our hearts. And Lord, as we gather together here tonight, I think, Lord, of all those that are gathered around us that, Lord, do not know you and have no assurance of faith, Lord, that there's been no genuine work of God as far as the new birth that has been performed in our hearts. Lord, we think tonight of Jake and, Lord, you know the heavy burden that he's borne. We rejoice, Lord, in the marvelous work that you've done in his life through your word. We just thank you, Lord, for your grace. We just thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We just thank you for your love. And, Lord, I just pray that you be with him now at this time. And, Lord, I know there's great wrestlings. I know that he's very burdened, Lord, very heavy. I know he has a great burden, Lord, for his people, Lord, and the loved people, Lord, and all that they are, and all their goodness, Lord, and all that they, all the things, Lord, that they have, Lord, all the great benefits and just the great culture, Lord, yet he has a burden for their hearts. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just give him clarity. I just ask you to give him direction. Lord, I just pray that you give him grace. I just pray that you give him peace. In Jesus' name we pray.
Timothy McVeigh. God has used this man like a shuttlecock in a weaving room. And God has used the anointing on him to bring so many different churches together. Would you pray for this man and dismiss this service? Bring me back here in 10.5 hours. Go home. You girls make yourself pretty, it's all wore off. All right. Whatever you need to do, you boys, take a shower, all right? Whatever you got to do, get some sleep, get some food, 10.5 hours back there. Brother McVeigh, would you pray for Jacob Byler and close this service?
My Father, we thank you. Lord, thank you for the pleasure to be with us and to understand why. When you said how, we're very cognizant of the tangible presence of your holiness.
Yes.
Well, I believe you strengthened many tonight. Lord, you give us incredible joy. Joy unspeakable and vulnerable. And how we thank you for that. Lord, you give us some of the peace that passes all understanding. Lord God, I would pray for your tender mercies, according to your kindness. Choose your favor to the Bible family. Give Jay great wisdom to understand a well according to knowledge. Through this fight, through those little girls, have you willing to weigh their home, their family, their lives. And Lord, in this time of life, Lord, that Jesus professed the new birth in this man, Jesus Christ, who we love, whose name we pray. I pray, Lord God, your blessings once we go home. I pray, Lord God, that conviction will continue on hearts. Lord, that tomorrow we connect to this place, that conviction is going to be heavy upon hearts. That the preaching would be according to what you would have.
Yes, Lord.
And that everything done in this son would bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray this night.
Amen.
Amen. Go home.
The offering for Brother Williams was $1,758 in change.
Wow.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Thank God.
Amen.
That's Mr. Douglas.
One thing. Okay.
Listen.
All right. I don't know why I came to salvation. But because God loved me.
Amen.
He loves you and you and you and every one of you.
Yes,
sir. He loves you.
Right. Yeah.
Not what you've done.
Right.
Not what you will do. He'll follow you wherever you go.
Right.
You will never run away from it. You can run your whole life. He's going to follow you to the
right. Right.
All the way right. To your dying breath.
Right.
He's going to love you.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Amen.
Can't run from it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Whose little boy is this? This one right here.
What?
Whose little boy is that?
No idea. Josiah?
No, this little boy, he just disappeared.
That's Michael and Tanya Asquith's
daughter.
This man here sent me a number of these books. Your mother needs to read these books. The simplest explanation of why the manuscript behind all the new Bibles allows them. There's never been a more simple explanation for it.
She'll take it. I'll try it. But
just
pray over that.
I will. But if she's going to get that other Bible, that's such a huge bugaboo.
And
that
that's
other Bible.
What we were dealing with.
That book there is, they're just a tremendous, simple thing. When you read, you just, oh my goodness, I can't believe you were dumb enough. Never believe it. That's
well,
true.
One of the first things, we're talking about Jesus, right? But you say he's another God. By grace of God, I probably heard it somewhere, but I didn't remember. I said, how does that work with the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods. as if they've made him a secondary god.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, so anyway, so among other things, that was good.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's why I come all the way from Florida, bro. I want to see you with my own eyes.